Well, good morning. Welcome this morning to worship. We do have today's beginning of revival time services set today through Wednesday. And just because we set dates doesn't mean revival happens. It happens because God brings revival as our hearts are surrendered to Him and sensitive to Him. And so that is our hope and been praying for that in the last few weeks. We are blessed to have Brother Dr. Brad McLean. He earned that, so I'll give him that. Dear friend and a brother in Christ, and then also Brother Gary Coven, very dear friend. Love him very much and his family. So they are going to be our team for this week, and so we'll have them come in a moment. We do have a presentation to make right off the bat. I've asked Jill Cope, our co-director of the personnel committee, to come and to make that presentation to Alec and Brittany Rodriguez. So come at this time.
Good morning. I'm going to ask Alec and Brittany to come on and stand up here for just a second. Most of you know that Alec graciously offered to be our interim music leader. About, I was just asking him how long ago it was, and he reminded me that it's close to 4 years, and I don't think anyone imagined that it would ever be that long. But our congregation, most of us know that Alec is and his family's already moved toward the Houston area, and Alec's going to be joining them soon. And we just wanted to extend our deep appreciation for not only Alec, but also Brittany, for not only being a worship leader, but also just serving in many capacities in our church. They have shown a tremendous commitment and spent many hours not only leading up here us in worship, but in preparing to do so. So on behalf of the church, we've taken up a love offering just to bless you guys as you start this new journey, and we commit to praying for you as you start this. And let's just give them a big thank you.
Many hours that Alec and I have sat on a weekly basis to talk about ministry and life and service to the Lord, and I will miss the young man, but I am grateful for the times that we had and to see him moving to another place of service. I think he has done us well and proud, and I'm grateful to have been a part of watching him grow up. I married those two, by the way, 5 kids ago. I married those two, and they've been a blessing. Their entire family has been a blessing to us. A few announcements before we begin. Vacation Bible School is just in a couple of weeks, and one of the coordinators came up and said T-shirt order slips should be in the pewbacks at the information desk. If you're interested in getting a Vacation Bible School T-shirt, those are due in 2 weeks. And so if you can give attention to those, if you're interested in getting shirts, they need to have those secured. So please give attention to that item. Also in the pew backs, you will find revival offering envelopes or love offering envelopes. We do not want you to miss giving to your church, but we do not also want you to miss opportunity to bless this team who has come to serve in these days. And keep those offerings separate, because if you put your offering to the church in a love offering envelope, we're going to give it to these guys. So just be mindful of that. Love offering is for the revival team, and the other offering that you give to your church should be in a regular envelope. So be mindful of that. We will be taking offerings all the way through this week and hope that you're able to be a part of those meetings as we do. We will have lunch starting at 11:45, and that's every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And then our evening services, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, will be at 6 p.m. Tonight, we're meeting at 5:30, our regular Sunday schedule. So we encourage you to be here tonight as we continue our time together in the Lord, seeking revival. Also next Sunday, May 22nd at 5:30 in the evening service, will be church conference. We encourage you to come and be a part of that ministry as well. read your bulletin because there are probably some things there that I missed and you need to know. Allow me to pray as we invite God to be in our midst and to launch us into this next week. Our Father and our God, I thank you for the fact that you are a creator. Your word reveals that truth to us and your spirit has confirmed it. I thank you that you're Redeemer, that Lord God, you sent your Son, Jesus, the second person of the Godhead, to come down and to be in our midst, and Lord God, to offer up himself as a sacrifice for our sin. I thank you, Father, that you were satisfied with his offering, so you raised him back to life so that he was successful in defeating the power of sin. He's also successful in defeating the power of death. And that, Lord God, that is our salvation. That by grace through faith, we trust in that work of Christ Jesus and we find salvation secured for us. And assurance is known by the Holy Spirit's witness to our hearts. Father, it is with this that we come to worship you, you alone. You are God. This is your church. You are worthy as the head to receive our worship, adoration, praise, and thanksgiving. Father God, stir up in our hearts by your Spirit the desire and the heart to do that and to do it well. Father God, forgive us where we have failed you and where we've sinned against your name. And Lord God, may we come before your throne of grace and mercy to find help in our time of need. Draw us to yourself. Lord, when we get that right, you will help us to be able to draw ourselves to one another as well. We pray you do your work in our midst, that you would be glorified through it. All credit would go to you, for you're worthy. Bless now as we enter into this time of being before your presence. Use these men who've come as instruments in your hands. And Lord God, we love you. Thank you for loving us first through Christ Jesus, in whose name we now pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Robert, and thank you, church, for letting us come. Teresa and I are so excited about being here, and we're here to worship with you. Repeat after me. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now, you missed the glad part somewhere in there. Let's try it one more time. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We have a holy God and we're going to worship him today. Would you join in standing with us and let's sing together?
Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, Sons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory see, only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power, in love and purity. You are holy. work shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity.
Sing it to him this morning.
You are holy.
People said, amen. You may be seated. Let's continue our worship. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. Let's sing it together.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand.
Amen. Sing it with us.
You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our prayers. praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord.
Sing it out.
It's your breath in our lungs, and we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. Shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these stones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you. Shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only.
We are here to praise and worship the one true living God. There is no other, and we honor him today. I've got a gift for you today. When you leave, you're going to get a little gift, and it looks just like this. Can you see what that is? It's a piece of chalk. I heard an illustration, a story by a pastor not long ago, and he said there was a revivalist named Gypsy Smith. And somebody came up to him and asked him, how can we have revival? He says, what you do is get you a piece of chalk. You take it home with you. You draw a circle around yourself. You bow on your knees and pray. And don't leave that circle until everything's right with God. And then you'll have revival. That's how revival starts. And that's how we'll have revival this week if it happens. If revival happens, it's going to start with me. It's going to start with you in our own little circle, saying, God, clean me up from the inside out. Take everything in me that is not holy in your sight, that's not right in your sight, and help me to be your servant, your son, your child. Help me to serve you with all of my heart.
Lord, you have told us, and Lord, you have promised that if your people would pray, that you would hear from heaven and you would send your mercy and touch us with your strong healing hand. So we're calling out to you, crying out to you, forgive us of our sin, heal our land. As we seek your holy face, we turn from all our wicked ways. Hear from heaven even now as we pray.
Would you stand with us and sing and make this your prayer this morning?
So we're calling out to you, crying out to you, forgive us of our sin, heal our land. As we seek your holy face, we turn from all our wicked ways. Hear from heaven even now as we pray.
Sing it one more time and sing it with all you got.
So we're calling out to you, crying out to you, forgive us of our sin, heal our land. As we seek your holy face, we turn from all our wicked ways. Hear from heaven even now as we pray.
Amen. Amen.
Allow me to pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege to know you through Christ Jesus, to benefit from your blessing us in every way, provisions that are unnumbered. And Father God, I pray that in this hour, as we direct our hearts and attention to you, that we will be willing to return back a portion out of all that you have poured into our lives. Father, as we have this opportunity to return back finances, that it would also remind us to turn back our very souls, our mouths, our hands, our feet, our minds, our hearts, to that which would honor your name. Every arena of life that you give us to serve you. Lord God, may this be a time of committal of ourselves to you. And we do so with our finances just as a token response. But Lord God, may it be mighty in your kingdom. We pray that you're glorified through this offering that we give back to you, recognizing the source being you, and that, Lord God, you would be glorified through it. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we ask it. Amen.
We need wisdom, we need power, and true love for each other. We have had so many big but empty words. So we come before your face, asking for your grace. Bring your people to a state of kingdom life. Restore your church again. Touch your people once again with your precious holy hand. We pray, let your kingdom shine upon this earth through a living, glorious church, not for temporary deeds, but to restored authority and power. Let a mighty rushing wind blow in. your people once again. Lord, you see your tired servants and the broken, wounded soldiers. Oh, how much we need your precious healing hand. We need the power of the cross as the only source for us. When we stand up facing final battle cries, restore your church again. Touch your people once again with your precious holy hand. We pray, let your kingdom shine upon this earth through a living, glorious church, not for temporary deeds, but to restored authority and power. Let a mighty rushing wind blow in. Let them people once again. Let a mighty rushing wind blow.
Take our Bibles, we're turning together to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I do want to say thank you to your pastor for inviting me to come back. In reality, I do not get a lot of invitations to preach in other churches. And so it is a rare thing for me to be invited to a church. It's an even more rare thing for me to be invited to a church a second time. And so... we are in unprecedented territory this morning, this being my third time here with you. And so I am pleased to be with you. I'm humbled that your pastor allows me to stand here in this sacred pulpit and trust me with the preaching of the Word of God. And so it is no light thing for me to stand here, and I'm thankful for this opportunity. As we stand, we're going to read beginning in verse 10 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So let's stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, writes, "Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. For I have been informed concerning you, my brethren, by Chloe's people, that there are quarrels among you. Now I mean this, that each one of you is saying, 'I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ.' Has Christ been divided? Paul was not crucified for you, was he? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one would say that you were baptized in my name. Now I did baptize also the house of Stephanas, but beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized any other. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, so that the cross of Christ would not be made void." Father, as we come in these moments and as we open your eternal word, Father, we just humbly, simply ask that you speak. That you speak clearly to our lives, Father, that you bring correction where correction is needed, conviction where conviction is needed, Father, restoration of hope, where that is needed. Father, we trust that your Spirit will move and will speak this morning, and that is our prayer, and we pray that in Christ Jesus. Amen and amen. As you're getting settled, let me say to you, as I have counseled with your pastor, I know that as a church body, as a church family, you have experienced some difficult days, months, maybe a couple of years. These things are not unusual to the body of Christ. They can be damaging and difficult to the body of Christ. But I want to say to you in great conviction that these things are overcomable by the body of Christ through the Spirit of God. And so my prayer for this week is this, that the Lord will do His work in you, that the God will reconcile you, that the Father will be honored among you. I truly believe that is possible. Now, as we think about these truths this week, I will at the outset say to you that there will be some difficult moments as we allow God's word to be exposed to our hearts. There will be some difficult moments. I might say some things that you disagree with or you might take offense to. And let me say in all love and sincerity, that is okay with me. My job is not to make you feel good about yourselves. My job is to allow God's word to be spoken through me. And so that is my hope and that is my expectation. And I'm truly, truly expecting the Lord to do His work in among us and through us over this week. Now, that's all the bad stuff I'm going to say the rest of the week. Not really. There's more to come. But let's begin here in this passage that the Lord has delivered through the Apostle Paul. Let me begin with a story. This is a story from 2016. It really originated in 1957. There was a graduate student at Columbia University named Gordon Gould. He had been working with pumping atoms into higher energy states so that they could emit light. As he elaborated his ideas and speculated about all the things that could be done with a concentrated beam of light, he realized he was onto something. In his notebook, he confidently named the yet-to-be-invented device a laser. We're very familiar with those things in our day. Lasers, light amplification by stimulated emission of radiation. I know nothing about that. Don't care anything about it. It's not my thing. I'm a words guy. I'm not a technology guy or a science guy. Nothing wrong with science and math people. It's just not what I do. Nearly 60 years later, we're still seeing the impact of this remarkable tool. Now, here's where the story picks up. Lockheed Martin very recently boasted about a new laser, a ground-based prototype system that burned through an entire car engine in a matter of seconds from a mile away. The company called this laser system the most efficient and lethal version on the planet. Now, the story turns to a spiritual biblical perspective here. The laser represents the ultimate expression of the impact we can have in a world in need of light, in need of the light of the gospel of Christ. And if we're able to understand the stunning power of unity expressed in a laser beam, and translate that into our local bodies of Christ, we might have a greater impact in those around us than we ever thought possible. Now, later in this first letter to the Corinthians, Paul uses the analogy of the local church. You're familiar with that out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, all the members are of the body. Though they are one body, are many, are one, so also we are one in Christ. In Romans, we also read this, for just as we have many members in one body and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. You know this from your own reality. For your physical body to work properly, the whole body has to be whole. The whole body has to do what it is designed to do. And so for the church body to work properly, to work well, The church body has to do what it is designed to do. Now, the issue that the apostle addressing here is this. I see it in verse 11. Look in verse 11 with me. "For I have been informed concerning you, my brethren, by Chloe's people, that there are quarrels among you." This is a key verse, maybe in the entire letter, but for certain within this particular text. He's saying that there is division among you. What that means is that there is a pulling apart into different sides, which, as you know, is dangerous for a group of people when they begin to pull themselves apart because they are not surrendering to the lordship of Christ and allowing the lordship of Christ to have full authority over the church. There was a moment within the life of the disciples when they began a discussion among themselves about which one of us is the greatest. Are we the greatest? Now, we know that men, in our own imagination, we can picture them sizing one another up as they're walking along the road. They're looking at one another and they're thinking about what this one has contributed or what that one has contributed, and they're taking stock and they're measuring themselves against one another. Listen to the story from Mark chapter 9. They came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he began to question them. See, here's what Christ does. He questions us in ways we never think he will. What were you discussing on the way, he asked. But they kept silent, for on the way they had discussed with one another who was the greatest. Well, sitting down, he called the 12 and said to them, "If anyone wants to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all." So what is our Lord teaching here? Well, he's teaching that the greatest in the kingdom comes in a much different way than greatness in the world. It's a much different understanding, perspective of what greatness means. The suggestion here is that there was a puffing up of men. There was a causing of a division within the church as the men puffed themselves up and decided that they were more important than someone else. Before I move on, let's think for just a moment as to whether there should ever be division within the body of Christ. You know, there have been a great many churches started over anger, a great many churches that have started in communities because of the puffing up of men. So I will say, when ego and arrogance rear their ugly heads and division occurs within the body of Christ, then the body of Christ is hurt. Communities are hurt. Local churches are hurt. So is there ever a time when a church should divide? Well, I say yes. Yes, when biblical doctrine is on the line. When biblical doctrine is on the line, when the frontline issues over the truth of Scripture is on the line, then I say yes, churches can divide. When a group of people within the church, and that can include the pastor, when they begin to move away from biblical truth, then that truth needs to be challenged. It needs to be questioned. You see, as I preach, as your pastor preaches, I fully expect that those who are listening to me, they're allowing God's word, they're allowing the Holy Spirit, asking the question, is this right? Is this true? And so we just don't simply sit idly by listening to everything someone says and then trust all that they say. That's how cults are started. But you, in the pew, you're asking, is this right? Is this true? And the source of measurement as whether it's right or true is the Word of God. We're asking the Lord, is this right? Is this true? And so if
unbiblical preaching is coming from pulpits, then people need to challenge what is being preached. And if those challenges are rejected or they are run away from and the unbiblical pursuit continues, then that group who desires to stay faithful to Scripture, well, they should leave. Finding a biblically sound church, or if the Lord leads to begin a biblically sound church, it should never be done out of anger. Leaving should never be done out of anger. It should always be reconciled. And if the Lord leads you someone to leave, then they should go. But there should be reconciliation first. Over the course of my pastoral ministry, I've had a number of people who have come and they've sat in the pews for a while, and I finally approached them and asked them, what is going on? Why are you here? Because I know that they were a part of the community, and if they're honest, many have said, well, there's been a problem at my church and I just need to take a little break. And I said, well, you sit here as long as you need to sit here. You come and worship here as long as you need to worship here. And if God leads you here, then you need to go make things right from the place in which you left. Or if God leads you back, then you need to go. I just believe that was the right thing to do. Bodies need to be healed. Relationships need to be healed. And friend, when it comes to matters of the gospel, we must seek unity. But that unity must be grounded in biblical truth, in the Word of God. Now, as is my understanding, there are questions over Calvinism and Arminianism. Those questions are good, they're right, they're legitimate. But I think no matter what side we might stand on, I believe as the people of God, we would agree to this. We would agree that man does not save himself, God saves. He is the Savior. He saves us through faith in Christ. God is the Savior. Not one of us is able to earn our own salvation. Scripture says in John chapter 6 that no one comes to the Father unless the Spirit draw him. And so the Spirit of God is working in the life of the individual, giving them us an understanding of our sin and our need for Christ. And so whether we fall on this side of the argument or this side of the argument, I think in the middle of the argument, we would all agree to those biblical principles. God saves. Man does not save. God does not have to save. He's gracious to save. He is gracious to have sent his son to allow him to suffer on the cross the way that he did. God is the one who gives us eternal salvation through Christ. To that we can all agree. Now the Apostle Paul addresses an issue that was causing unnecessary division within the church. Beginning in verse 10, there's a call to unity around the gospel, and it culminates in verse 17. I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree, that there be no divisions among you. Now, exhort comes from that word parakaleo. You're familiar with that word because it is used of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God who comes and ultimately dwells within the believer, but in doing so, coming alongside and guiding our life. And so as the apostle is coming alongside the Corinthians, urging them, set aside these divisions. Set aside these divisions in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's just reminding them of God's grace in those previous verses, that they have salvation in Christ by the grace of God alone. We do not deserve the grace of God, not one of us. But by God's grace, we are saved in Christ. He reminded them of God's gifting to serve the kingdom. None of us have a spiritual gift because we're worthy of that gift. We have that gift because of the grace of God poured out to us through the Spirit of God. We are able to serve the kingdom of God. And God and Paul reminded them of God's faithfulness to work out his will within their life. I believe we find great encouragement from Philippians chapter 2. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. This does not say work for your salvation. It's saying you're already saved. Demonstrate that through your life. Let your life be a demonstration of the salvation that is in you. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Now, because God has and is doing so much in our life, working so diligently in our life, the apostle urges them, coming alongside, that there be no division. There be no division among you. Division comes from the word schismata, which means to tear or to rip. That's what it means in the physical sense. Metaphorically, it points to a difference of opinion. Difference of opinion or judgments. The same word used in John chapter 9 of the Pharisees who opposed Jesus. Scripture says this, therefore, some of the Pharisees were saying, this man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath. But others were saying, how can a man who is a sinner perform such signs? And there was great division among even the Pharisees. Now listen, division happens. It does. We have disagreement. I said earlier that there is a point in which division must occur. It's necessary. But friends, when it comes to the truth of the gospel, there can be no division among us. We must believe and be confident in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul exhorts them, for no division is the negative way of encouraging the church to have the same mind. This one truth we gather around, that Jesus is Lord. That is our one sustaining truth. Jesus is Lord. He exhorts the Corinthians to agree. There's really three statements here. One, that they all agree. Two, that there be no divisions, which we just covered. And number three, that they be made complete in the same mind and judgment. In the original language, uses the word same three times. Three times. Driving home this great need for unity within the body of Christ. Now, around what does that unity need to occur? Well, there needs to be agreement. Agreement around a doctrinal stance. What is this truth we believe from Scripture? What we do as a local body, what do we believe about the gospel? What do I believe? What do you believe about the gospel? And how is that communicated to your community? You see, if the local body is confused about what this truth is about which we gather that Jesus is Lord, then all we will do is cause confusion, not only within the walls, but outside the walls as well. If we believe this way for a while, and then the cultural winds, which the cultural winds are blowing within our nation, if the cultural winds blow this way, then we don't want to believe that because it's not popular with culture and we will not be relevant within the culture. Listen, church, I believe in our nation today that God has given the church the greatest opportunity to shine brightly in this dark world. No other time in our life has the church had this opportunity. Culture is becoming desperately dark. The church should be increasingly brighter. When there are intelligent people like the most recent nominee and confirmed nominee to the Supreme Court of the United States, who's unwilling to ask a simple question, what is the definition of woman? that tells you how desperately dark our culture is becoming. And it tells you the church has such an opportunity from the Lord that we've never seen in our lifetimes. And so the church must shine brightly. Now, what Scripture is saying is that it's not saying there has to be total uniformity in all aspects of the church. You and I are not going to agree on everything. That is understood. Certainly, there's room for disagreement regarding the hows or the methods of doing church. For example, let me say this. There are churches with a very contemporary style of music. I can assure you that not everyone within those four walls is happy about that style of music. It's just simply not going to be the truth. There are churches that have a more traditional style of music. And not everyone within that church is completely happy with a traditional style of music. But what is necessary in each of those places is that we agree on the gospel. We agree in the truth of the gospel. If not, then division will occur. When we begin to divide over lesser things, then division, unnecessary division, occurs. Now, here's the easy way out of this. The easy way out of this is to say, well, Satan's just gotten into this church. Satan's gotten into this church. And we just don't know what to do. Satan has gotten into this church. That, while that might be the easy place to blame, I argue that Satan cannot make you do anything as a believer in Christ. Satan can tempt you, yes. Satan cannot make you say yes to the temptation. Satan's gotten into the church. Well, because Satan can't make you do anything, those in the church are the ones who are following through with the action. Those in the church are the ones who are willingly dividing and choosing the division. Now, the issue at hand here is the propping up of certain leaders within the body. Verse 12 mentions Paul and Apollos and Cephas and Christ. Let's take Christ out of this group and look at the three that are left. Certainly, each man is worthy of respect. Think about this. Paul was the one who planted the church. Paul is the one whom God used to preach the gospel initially, to go into the synagogue and preach Christ crucified. Apollos made his way to Corinth and has held a leadership position. They revere, they have respect for Apollos. Of Apollos, Luke writes this, "Now a Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus, and he was mighty in the scriptures. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately, the things concerning Jesus. Being acquainted only with the baptism of John, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately." So we know Paul and Apollos, they led the church in Corinth. Paul there for 18 months before he left. Speculation about Peter, why is Peter drawn into this? Speculation is that there were those within the church who may have once sat under his teaching and preaching, and now they are a part of the church of Corinth, and so there is this division. So what's the potential issue here? Well, the issue is that the people in the church began to align themselves behind men rather than ultimately under Christ, under the lordship of Christ. They are dividing, and they're saying, I'm with this guy or I am with this guy. Now, as a pastor, I understand what is taking place within this church. I learned very early in ministry that people have their pastor. You do. You have your pastor. It usually goes something like this. Now, pastor, I love you. You always know it's bad when they start off by telling you they love you. Now, pastor, I love you, but when I die, I've asked Pastor Joe to come and preach my funeral. Well, I can appreciate that. I really can. I can appreciate that. They have a love for this man.
This man may have been formative in their life as they first came to Christ, as they were a young married man or woman, or as they had children, and this man poured into them through the Word of God, and God used them in a wonderful way. And I understand that as they matured in their faith, they have a love for this man. But you see, ultimately, the love for the man, whether it's your pastor, whether it's folks in the church where I pastor or wherever it might be, the love for the man has to be based on not the man himself, but how God has used the man. You see, ultimately, you are loving, praising, giving thanks to God for the man, rather than holding the man up and revering him and putting him in a place where he does not deserve to be. But you're glorifying God because of the man. Now, this is what Paul is driving home here. You might like one preacher's style. You might want like one preacher the way he delivers sermons over another. I understand those things. They're personal preferences. But when this division occurs over who is better, well, then this contradicts the gospel. This contradicts the Lord using the man within that local fellowship. And then the issue of pride begins to rise up. And we know full well from Scripture, we know full well from our own life, when pride begins to rise up, usually good things are not on the horizon. Difficult things come. Scripture commands us to do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves, having this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul further attacks their divisions through asking a set of rhetorical questions. He asks the question, has Christ been divided? Has Christ been divided? The obvious answer is no. No, Christ hasn't been divided. By the suggestion that people are lining up behind different leaders, the implication is that those leaders will garner some loyalty, some devotion that's only meant for Christ. Your love is for Christ and Christ first. Now, we love one another within the body. We are to love one another. We're to demonstrate that love for one another. But our first love is for Christ. When human leaders are given the kind of devotion only meant for Christ, then, as I mentioned earlier, there is a cult that is starting, and it's not the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then Paul drives home a significant truth here. Paul was not crucified for you, was he? What does the apostle do in asking this question? Well, he focuses their attention back to the critical matter at hand. What is that critical matter? Well, the critical matter is this. The sin of the Corinthian believers is forgiven. Why? Because of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he shed his blood in obedience to the Father. He was placed in a tomb. He is raised from the dead by the power of God. And it is through Christ we have reconciliation with God the Father. And so he points their heart and mind back to this critical issue. Their salvation rests solely, completely on Jesus alone and no one else. Here there can be no division. Jesus alone saves. And it is said only of Jesus, these words: she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. In Christ alone, it is said, he took some bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them and he said, this is the blood of my covenant which is poured out for you. Only of Jesus is it said, why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here, but he is risen. Remember while he was still in Galilee saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day rise again. Only of Jesus is it said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Only of Jesus is it said, and there is salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Only of Jesus is it said, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Only of Jesus is it said, but by his doing you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Only of Jesus, as it said, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Only of Jesus, as it said, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Only of Jesus, as it said, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. Only of Jesus, as it said, have this attitude in yourselves, which is also among Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Only of Jesus is it said, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sin. Only of Jesus is it said, for they themselves report about us what kind of reception we had with you and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God and to wait for the Son from heaven, for who he raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come. Only of Jesus is it said, for after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who did not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Only of Jesus is it said, it is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Only of Jesus is it said, for this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. Only of Jesus is it said, he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, who he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Lord. Only of Jesus is it said, for this reason he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that since a death has taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Only of Jesus is it said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Only of Jesus is it said, for when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such an inheritance, such an utterance as this was made to him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Only of Jesus is it said, and this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Only of Jesus is it said, from his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has the name written,
King of kings and Lord of lords. Only is it said of Jesus these words. Friends, we are saved by faith alone, through grace alone, in Christ alone. May there be no division among the body of Christ regarding this truth. And if we agree to this, then the Lord can heal and strengthen and shine brightly through His church. Father, as we come to you, as we come to you in humility regarding the truth of your word, Lord, we are reminded just by that small sampling of how often your eternal word speaks of the glory of Christ, the lordship of Jesus, the salvation which you have given to us through his sacrifice. Father, it is only through Christ in which we are saved. Oh, Father. Father, may we find unity there. And trust you, Father, to provide unity in other areas. But we first must find unity there. Lord, we pray. We pray, Father, that you will draw us to the cross in these days. And that you will turn our eyes, Lord, to Jesus. Friend, as you continue, just a posture of worship here. May I simply ask you, are you seeking unity? Are you pursuing what is best for your church family? Are your eyes seeing past this issue as to your witness to the community and the opportunities that the Lord is giving to us today in this culture to allow Jesus to shine brightly through First Baptist Edna? Father, would you draw us to the cross in these moments? Would you turn our heart, Father, if need be, back to you, if necessary, Lord, back to each other, so that we stand in arm for the hope of the gospel. Father, we pray this in the name of Christ. Amen and amen.
In just a moment, I will make my way to the floor section. I appreciate Brother Brad coming and bringing this word this morning. And the division that we've experienced didn't happen overnight. The healing won't take place overnight, but it has to begin now. And I believe we're not here by accident, that the Lord has us here for purpose. And I am grateful that the Lord has been with us through this entire ordeal. And I have no doubt that he's in our midst this morning. The altar will be open for those to come and do business with the Lord. I will be here to pray with you. But we need to do business with God. Earlier it was said, revival will not begin unless it happens in us. Our world needs the church to be right. Church, let's get right with Him. Let's pray together. Father, as we enter into this time of response and invitation, this time of examining our own hearts and allowing You to examine our hearts, Father, that we will find ourselves honest before You. Lord God, move in our midst. Touch Your people once again. To Your glory, we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like You.
Sing that again. Change my heart.
Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like You.
Just bow your heads, and as God continued to move in this room, just pray that God could have His way with you this morning. Whatever you need to, decision you need to make, whether it's there where you are or come to this altar, whatever God leads you to do, just during this quiet time, do that with Him. Sing that one more time. Change my heart, oh God. Make it your prayer this morning.
Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like You.
will appreciate all of you. And I encourage you, come back tonight, 5:30. We will meet together here. Pray for Brother Brad and also Brother Gary, the choir, as we come together, that we would honor the Lord in our coming together and letting him do his work in our midst. I love you. God bless. Have a great afternoon. We will see you this evening.
We're going to sing Because He Lives as we go. And I see some of you out there that are singers. You see, I know a lot of you folks. So we have choir practice at 4:45 and love for you to come. Let's sing together as we go.
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives.
God bless you.